to Diamnastics, the gym where dungeon masters work out their minds. I'm one of your hosts, DM Celeste, a.k.a. Sea Witch.
And I'm your other host, DM Neil, a.k.a. Jote Moniak. Ah, dear listener, I'll give you a hint as to what my name, my gnome de guerre, actually means.
A hint.
Jack of all trades, master of none. Speaking of hints, though, this is a terrible segue.
No, it was good. Because, it was so good.
Because today we're going to be talking about an article that is chock full of that sweet, sweet inflammatory language in the title.
Yay!
10 hints in D&D that a DM should never give to a party.
Wow.
For any reason.
Yeah. Okay. This is... I'm so curious.
Love the tagline that's immediately after it. Playing a dungeon master in Dungeons & Dragons can be one of the most rewarding experiences offered in the game. I'm like, I don't... These aren't working.
Are these things linked? All right. Well, this is by Jeffrey Robinson. I don't know if we've had one from Jeffrey yet, so we'll see. Well, I love this sick art, though. They've got, like, a really old school wizard, like, with electricity coming out of his fingers in the image. So that's neat.
Oh, yeah. That's that old school. I can't remember what it's from. But dear listener, if you click the link in the show notes, you'll head over to that article on The Gamer and be able to see that. And maybe you could let us know.
Yeah.
First up. And so I think the easiest question is going to, first off, you and I are going to answer, have we done it?
Yes.
Would we do it? I think that's just the easy, quick way to do this.
Yes, for sure.
Enemy challenge ratings.
I don't generally tell my players this, but I think maybe sometimes I've mentioned it. I'll do it sometimes if I want my players to, like, either feel really good about themselves or really scared. Like, I'll say things like, oh, man, this CR is actually technically deadly for your party rating. Good luck. And then that scares them into being good. But otherwise, I don't think that really means much to players.
And that's where I kind of was. I don't do it, but I don't do it out of, like, oh, I don't want them to know.
Yeah.
I just don't think it makes any difference. Were they to know or not know, because it's so hit or miss for multiple reasons. One, I don't think the calculations, once you get into abilities rather than just raw number stats, is just wild, especially in both directions. You may have to ramp everything up because you gave them too many magic items. You may have to ramp everything up because they figured out how to synergize their two characters, three characters super well together. So you need more out there. Or you put more monsters of lower CR because that makes the bigger difference. So for me personally, I don't care. I just genuinely do not care enough to bring it up or not bring it up.
And honestly, I mean, it's not a secret. Everybody pretty much knows that the 5e CR system is just wrong most of the time. And even the designers have admitted past CR 10, it doesn't work. They literally didn't do the math. So, like, whatever.
Yeah, the top end of the game is just, like, there's so much nuance required. Yeah. It's why Larian Studios stopped at 12, because they're like, spells break everything. Mm-hmm. We can't go further. Or in the same way, you talk about older editions of basically who gets initiative.
Yeah.
That's who's going to win. Either the monster stomped out or we stomped out, and a lot of those fights lasted 1 to 2 rounds, because you won or you died.
Ooh, this next one, NPC alignments or motives. I mean, yeah, that makes a lot of sense, especially if they're being cagey. Like, I guess I have sometimes told players, like, maybe in those scenarios where, like, they think, because I have done this to my players. I play games with a lot of intrigue and a lot of, like, NPC, you know, are out to get the party. And, like, so people have a lot of different opinions and everything is changing. And my players don't trust anyone because of my shenanigans that I've done. So from time to time, I'll be like, no, I promise you, this is a lawful good paladin. Like, I swear to God, I'm not pulling anything here. This is what it is. So, like, if that's the nature of it, but yeah, I mean, in general, you don't want to reveal those secrets, right? If it's something that could possibly come into play.
Yeah. I think part of it is, like, do you even have a game where this matters?
Yeah.
Like, do you have a game where your player alignments matter?
Right.
Which is rare, more rare than ever before, I feel. Because for me, it's hard for me, because my thought is always, if you put the right person in the wrong scenario, the things that they're willing to do get stretched. And that's a lot of what high adventure is. Like, you're taking characters out of their element. It's not that they're just fishing on a dock. and then deciding to murder someone, yeah. and now they're lawful evil, or like that's all part of their plan. This is a very interesting NPC my brain has come up with. But especially if it's the one that it matters. Like, yeah, no, I'm not going to tell him if it's the one who's trying to like get one over on the party, and is the plant from the BBEG or something like that. But other than that, the other thing is there's also spells where they can just find out. So I don't know. I don't know about hiding it or not hiding it, especially if they're doing actively using their resources as characters to find this information out. There's only so much I can do to get in the way of it.
Yeah, it's interesting. Clearly, this writer is kind of showing their proclivities, I guess. They mentioned specifically two effects, like Detect Alignment, the spell, and Sense Motive, which are both from 3.5. They are not in 5th edition. So looking at it through that lens, where there were actually tools like this about sensing alignment and stuff, a lot more of that than we see. There are very, very few in 5e, and they're mostly just meant to detect monsters, like very clear monsters, right, as opposed to like people. Yeah, it would matter a lot more in that edition, I think. But 5e, yeah, I suspect when we see, you know, new 5e or 5.5 or whatever the heck they're calling it, that they will be phasing out alignment in very much the same way most tabletop RPGs are.
Enemy equipment is number 8 on our list, which is interesting. I like this conceptually. It's going to fall directly into the camp of I don't care enough to tell my players, in that I am not telling them specific enough information to be like, the warrior standing before you is currently in plate armor using a +1 greatsword. I sounded more like the Pokemon thing than anything else. But the idea that, like, I do really enjoy the reason given for this, though, is to say, if I'm more nebulous about heavily armored, then I can start to play with armor class if I need to. If I'm nebulous about the idea of how they look or what they're using, basically I can fudge things one direction or the other. And again, fudging is fine, again, because if you make anything custom, you may or may not know that it's overpowered by the time it gets to, oh, hey, everyone's dead and that's on me. That's not their fault. So yeah, I'm for it. They don't need to know until they're picking stuff up.
Yeah, I'd say too, I mean, one of the reasons, unless you specifically want them to know this, like, especially with magic items, because if you tell a player, like, oh, ooh, and from the wand they're holding, they cast blah, 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 they're like, oh, well, I'm going to spend literally every resource I have available to disarm that person and get that wand, because clearly that's magic. That is the only source of their magic, right? Like, so that can be bad. So unless you want your players to, like, fixate on getting whatever that specific thing is, it can be just very distracting, I feel like, to tell them that during a fight, because they'll focus all of their attention there instead of the real prize, which is just defeating them as normal and then getting, you know, whatever magic item from their corpse, as, you know, the D&D gods intended.
So do you adjust armor classes?
No, I don't adjust ACs, because like that is a flat number that you can kind of count on. And like AC is something that is one of those things. I tell this to novice designers all the time. I'm like, stop doing abilities and skills. Stop making them that like radically boost armor or decrease other people's armor, because that is like such a key part of actually making balance challenges. And there are so many other things you can do. So I rather like fudge, you know, dice rolls, like what I got, or like the amounts of damage, like that kind of stuff, which is functionally the same, right? If you fudge, you know, saying, oh, I got, you know, +8 on this attack instead of +12 or whatever, that's basically saying the same thing as like, oh, the AC was, you know, whatever, because you know what the set value of the AC is. So don't change the set value, change the random value is what I feel in general.
Okay, so I will admit, dang it, one of my players listens. I will admit to potentially not setting the AC until I do.
Mm, Yeah.
And if someone had explained it, either I read it in an article or it was a conversation I had, which, dear listener, that's a real tough thing to backtrack. And for I do not mean to not credit anyone, but there's too much in there, so I don't remember. But the idea that a low roll is often a miss and it's not a question, and a high roll is often a hit and it's not a question. It's that mid-range where you then need to make a determination. Okay, 15. Okay, we're done. That's it. That's a hit, but that's the hit. And we're done. That's what the AC is moving forward. And once I determine that, I am forthcoming with, that's a hit. Their AC is 15. That way, moving forward, it just speeds up play. Because at that point, you hit. You know. It's no longer a secret. But I will keep it secret for the most part. And then I may adjust it depending on how the rest of the battle's been going.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Okay. Number 7. DM checks and difficulty class.
Yeah. I mean, I think, yeah. Keeping DCs secret is critical to being a good DM. Like, because, again, you want your players to succeed at the end of the day, and sometimes you have to help them do that a little bit. So if you walk in being like, all right, make me a DC 15 perception check. Like, if you do that for every time, you're setting yourself up for a game full of failure that you have no control over.
If you, and this has come up for this, I hate saying it this way, but this has definitely come up for years on the podcast. And again, I cannot attribute the original person because there's a slight chance it's me. But if you are not comfortable with them, whoever it may be, rolling a 1 or a 20, they shouldn't roll.
Don't have to roll. Yep.
Yeah, because inevitably, that 5... If there's anything I've taken away, 5% is huge. 5% is a huge percentage. So yeah, if you are not comfortable with a 1 or a 20, don't say it out loud.
Don't say it out loud. And the fact is that sometimes in the heat of the moment, we do ask for checks that we shouldn't. And if you don't tell them the DC, then you can still do something about it, right? Like,
and in the same way, the DM side of that is you could just be on a hot streak. It's literally, again, we're using it as a touch point because it's really interesting to see what Larian had to do for their programming. But one of the options inside the settings is, hey, don't keep hurting me. Which basically, like, if I roll low a whole bunch.
Oh, yeah, the karmic dice rolls. Please help. Is that what it is?
Please help me. And the flip side of that is I'm just rolling hot. It's, you know, 15 plus every roll. For whatever reason, that's just how my dice are going. And that's all to say, these are options. If you want to roll out in the open and everybody does, and that's just, you are at the whim of these math rocks, that's awesome. That's totally fine. But if you feel like that's not working, then move everything behind the screen and keep some of that narrative element to it as well. Because you can also describe, like, if it was a lower roll, but you want them to be successful, you can describe how hard it was to be successful at the difficulty check. In the same way that if they roll that 20, you can just talk about how it was a breeze.
That is not to say that you shouldn't ever tell the DC, because sometimes there are scenarios where it actually is better. Like, for example, I was running a skill challenge, like, the other day, and part of a skill challenge is, like, you have to meet a certain DC, right, to, like, succeed. So that's part of the game. Knowing difficulty and being able to track successes and failures against a known DC is an important thing to do. So probably not for normal roles, but there are situations where, telling them the DC, or like if it's a super dramatic moment, like, hey, like a player wants to do something really, really, really hard and like, well, no, almost no shot of victory, but you're still going to let them do it anyway. Like giving them that DC and watching them like succeed over that can be very fun. So, you know, just play it by ear. But in general, I agree. Don't tell people your DCs.
All right, we're quickly getting into the section that is going to go much quicker because these are about to be ones that we're just going to agree with, noticed in like the top and bottom half. Yep. Okay, enemy hit points and damage rolls. No, I'm not going to tell you the hit points.
Don't tell them that.
For an absolute myriad of reasons.
No.
Personally, and again, I know I've shared this before, I will look at the hit point range that is on the monster. That's where I am at. So that's how I run my monsters, is that range is where I'm going to be. If they go too fast, then it's probably going to be the top end of the range. If it takes too long, then it's probably going to be the bottom end of the range. Because in the same way, they're all rolling their characters and getting potentially random amounts of hit points as a fighter, say. So what's to say this isn't a really strong ogre or a really weak ogre? And so, yeah.
I mean, you have to tell them how much damage they dealt, right? That's not what they're... So that seems weird to me. I guess maybe don't tell them how much, like, oh, this guy does 3d8 plus 5 damage. Maybe that's what...
You can always base the image of the attack on the amount of damage being dealt before revealing the amount a player must subtract from their hit points.
Hmm. I don't really get that. I don't think so, Jeffrey.
Yeah. No, yeah, I mean, damage rolls kind of are what they are. Like, either, yeah. I mean, you rolled it, but I mean, the only thing I would say is I wouldn't necessarily do state out loud the actual math, I guess.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to not say is I'm not going to say it's 2d8 plus 6.
Yeah, I don't want to do that because I don't want people sitting there going, well, oh, wait, what's the math in the averages? That doesn't work. You know, like, God. But, yeah, let's assume that's what Jeffrey meant.
Yep. So, fun fact, what was going to happen? No, I'm never going to do it. I am almost never, ever, ever going to say it because there is a very real chance.
That's number just... 5, by the way, in case it wasn't clear. What was going to happen?
Sorry. Yes, number 5. And no, because what if I want to use it later?
Right.
And just, yeah. No.
Also, you don't want people to, like, feel bad. Be like, oh, you could have gotten a legendary item. You just went that way in the dungeon. Whoops. Yeah. Like, that's just miserable. Don't do that to people.
As the two people that have written for a company entitled Quantum Ogre, this ain't our Jim Jam. Why would you just not save it for later? Why would you just not save it for later? It doesn't. That's the whole crux of the idea of like, oh, well, if you would have gone down either path, you would have seen the ogre. It's the Quantum Ogre. No, just save it for later. Number 4. The next place to go. I mean, this one's weird because it's yes and no. Like, yes, I shouldn't railroad them. No, if they found out, then I'm going to tell them they found out where to go.
Yeah. Because also sometimes there are absolutely players out there who need you to tell them where to go because they forget.
Or it's just the next part of the story. Like, they found the MacGuffin. They found the piece of information. Like, that's a classic trope in almost every video game of, like, oh, I've defeated so-and-so, and I find a letter that says this and that. I mean, I'm on board. Number 3. So how do you feel about number 3?
Number 3. How to build their character. Well, okay, I see. Okay, so I see with the sentence in here that says, you shouldn't tell them how to progress, especially in terms of what becomes beneficial later in that campaign. Yeah, I guess. Like, you don't want people to, like, feel bad if they want to pick something different, right, than what you have planned. Like, that's kind of a weird thing to do. Be like, oh, well, why aren't you building your character tailored to my story? Like, so I can see, like, don't tell them that way. But some people really need help building characters. And some people don't care. Some people don't care about the mechanics of their character. They just want the best options and they don't want to look through 1,000 books.
The other thing in my counter is actually directly to beneficial later in the campaign. Yeah, well, and I also think because, like, I'm setting up to go on the cruise, one other thing about, like, the cruise game is I'm telling them all it's going to be like a seafaring adventure.
Yeah.
Because it's ridiculous. If you're going to run an entire campaign on a boat, and you're not going
to
have
sea... You have to tell them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's probably beneficial for the person that was like, I want to make a mounted combat paladin and do all the... And it's like, well... Or if it's like a deep dungeon crawl and the person has a mount. Or... So I feel like, don't say, hey, I think you should grab this spell because it'll be really important for the next dungeon that you walk into. No, but at the same time, like, you don't want them to feel like the rug got pulled out from under them, and now the things that they got when they leveled up don't mean anything.
Yeah, that's a weird one. This is a weird one to include.
Number 2, though, wholeheartedly agree. This is not your place. Other players' backstories.
Yes, you should never, as the DM, reveal that to other players. Let the player reveal that to others, for sure.
I would say you can allow opportunities for one player to share their backstory, or potentially another player to inquire about another player's backstory. But you, as the DM, I mean, barring a very direct conversation, should not be explaining the backstory of another PC to the group or any other PC.
Yeah, absolutely not. That's, like, one of the fun things about being in a party and, like, getting to reveal that. So don't ruin that for your player, for sure.
Number one, what do we got?
What lies at the destination? Yeah, other than, like, oh, go to this cave, you know, this cave is where this artifact is said to be, blah, blah, blah. And that's the extent of what you should do, right, as you're setting them up. Don't actually tell them whether the thing is there or not, what monsters are guarding, what the, you know, don't tell them. Maybe provide opportunities for them to, like, study and, you know, do lore and, like, investigate. But, yeah, don't tell them the end of the dang book before they read it.
Yeah, so I think this will be released far enough out that this won't bite me. My players are dead set that they're about to face a white dragon.
Okay.
And they're 100% fighting a frost giant.
Yeah.
They've just got it in their head that, like, everything that they're leading up to it, clearly we're fighting a white dragon.
Mm-hmm.
And they're 100,000% not fighting a white dragon. They're only fighting a giant, terrifying, I mean, still equally as difficult of a fight for them at their level, frost giant.
It's, you know, that's part of the thing. You live, you learn as adventurers, or you die, and you learn as players how to be better adventurers. That's part of the fun.
But with that, if you enjoyed what you heard here, you can always leave us a rating and review on your podcatcher of choice. And of course, if you want to tell us about any of these or things you think, hints you think you should not have given your players, or hints you think you should, you can always email us at dmnastics@gmail.com. And of course, if you head over to social media, you can find us somewhere. Type in our name and see if we come up. If we don't, try again. We're probably there.
A huge thank you, as always, to the bards over on Bombarded for our intro and outro music. You can find out more about Bombarded at bombardedcast.com.
But with that, let's head to the post-workout cooldown and stretch with the light bulb.
Light bulb.
What did you find today?
So I found a shirt where it has, like, the silhouette of a person giving a shrug, and their head has been replaced with a D20 with the number one facing forward, and it says, "Guess I'll die."
That's very cool.
It's like a double play on words, because it is a die, and you roll a one, so you will die. Yeah, one of the issues, though, with Etsy, and I will say, dear listener, while we may have a link to it, I would probably try and do your due diligence to find out where maybe this actually came from.
Yeah, because it does say it's a vintage design, so it was probably at some point a shirt that an artist made and then sold for a while, and now it's back, so.
Yeah, I thought we would just add something of interest for maybe you're going to buy it for someone. I think the D&D lover in your life would find this very funny.
Yes, it's a very cool shirt.
And I feel like I know where this shrug is coming from, but I can't quite place it. So, yeah, that is, I guess, our small call to action. If you do know where this exact shrug silhouette comes from, let us know.
Let us know.
But that one was quick and easy. So with that, we'll turn out the lights and head out of the gym.
Before we go, I want to implore you, the listener, to join the forums, the Discord, social media, anywhere else you can find us, and take part in these challenges, exercises, and other amazing conversations being had.
And to do that, head over to Dungeon Master's Block. Nope. And to do that, head over to bit.ly/DM banter, all one word, and try some DMnastics so your players don't ask, "Do you even lift?"